So, I have noticed this one thing, and I'll be honest with you, at first I thought it was just a plain coincidence, but you tell me, okay? So my five-year-old, she's playing with these large wooden blocks. Santa brought those last Christmas, and ever since then, it's been like the most favorite toy in the house. And she's stacking, and she is building and creating, and I love it. Because it gives me some time to get my work done, right? But then, somewhere between 6 or 7 o'clock, as the dinner's cooking, it's time to pick up. So I call her name once. And I call her name again. And I even call her name for the third time, the middle and the last names attached. Nothing. Not one response, not once has she acknowledged her mother. So I take a deep breath, give it a few minutes, you know, as the pasta's cooking, and I try again. And this time I say, "Veronica, baby, it's time to pick up." You think she responds then? That's right, dead silence. I mean, when someone calls your name, isn't it like a natural response for you to at least look up and see who is calling? Not my kid. If she hears an undesirable command, all of a sudden she picks up on that selective hearing that she inherited from her daddy. And as a parent or a grandparent, a teacher, a babysitter, I'm sure these scenarios are quite familiar to you too. But this reluctance to respond to someone calling you, I don't just see it with the kids. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I also see a whole lot of it in the Bible. You know, when it comes to my way, absolutely God, count me in. But when it comes to the ways that seem anything but easy, no, anything but desirable or reasonable, thanks, but no thanks, Lord Jesus. Look, I'm just not your guy. I'm not your person. And we find any reason to pull a Moses, and we become masters in making excuses. And I have heard some pretty weak excuses in my time. I guess it comes with a job. The thing is, if I'm to be 100% honest here, I gotta admit that I made some lame excuses before too. Like, I remember this time, you know, before kids came along, David and I, anytime we went for vacation, we would play putt-putt or mini golf. And I would tell him after each round, "You know, David, I'll let you win this round only because I feel bad for you losing." Or, you know, a different occasion talking to my friend and she's like, "You have a stain on your shirt." And I'm like, "Well, I have a toddler. I mean, I hope you understand." Or just the other day, "David, I didn't do the laundry. And there's a reason why I didn't do the laundry. I'm not going down there in that basement with those creepy-looking spider crickets that jump. And they jump, and when they jump, I scream, and that is not a nice picture, ask him. And those things are vicious. Like, you can't even step one foot down there, and they jump." But since we're staying 100% honest here, I can tell you that I always lose in putt-putt. And that shirt, well, that stain's been there forever and a day. But they don't make those shirts like that anymore. And I know I sound like my grandma, but it's true, I like that shirt. And the laundry, it's not one of my favorite chores. It's like a battle I cannot win. So why not to give myself a little break, right? The thing is, isn't this pretty much what Moses said to God when God was calling and speaking to Moses from that burning bush? Like, I know that they weren't discussing laundry or putt-putt, but when God calls Moses to go back to Egypt, When God calls Moses to bring God's people out of Egypt to deliver those suffering thousands from the land of oppression, Moses turns a deaf ear to what he deems as an undesirable command. And he finally answers to the Lord, "I'm not cut out for the job. Just go and find someone else." And we know that a perfect formula here would be something along these lines. A mother calls, and her child at least acknowledges her. Or a mother asks her daughter to pick up, and the little girl obediently picks up her toys. It would make for a good Facebook status, too. Or when God talks, the model disciple listens without any doubts or any questions and no hesitation. Except Moses is not a model disciple. He's not even a model prophet. That guy is a hot mess. And there's some commentators out there, and you know, they describe Moses, you know, Moses, who we know as the greatest prophet out there, they describe him as cowardly, as conniving and wily, ready to avoid the challenge at all cost. Even if it means that he will have to argue with the Almighty. And so the conversation between Moses and God is taking place, right? And somewhat conveniently, Moses is coming with one excuse after another, and we've only seen really two in the scripture this morning. But whatever it takes, he is not going back to Egypt. You know what I'm talking about. He has a mind of his own, kind of like my kids. And he stands by his own opinion and his own ideas, his own comforts and his own biases. Being stubborn, starting with the typical, you know, like, I'm not good enough. He's doubting himself. He's doubting his own abilities. And when that doesn't do the thing, he tries something else. So why not to question God just a little bit? And so being all sneaky, he says to the Lord, "Well, let's say that I'm up for the challenge," which he is not, "but let's say I'm up for the challenge. But who in the world are you? What should I say? I can't say that a burning bush sends me. How would that look?" And then, to top it all off, he says that he doesn't have the skills. He doesn't have the experience or the proper training or the right degree. And really, he kind of stutters too. And he has funny accents, so there is no way that he's going to speak in front of all the people on those pews ever. And then, the most truthful of all of his excuses, "Can you just please find someone else? I'm not doing this." Something he was thinking from the very moment that bush started talking. And in all honesty, aren't these excuses kind of similar to ours? Admit it. There are times when we don't want God to call us to a particular task. And there are times when we don't want God to call us to a particular lifestyle or even a particular sacrifice. And there are times when we question God. And if we don't question God, then we question ourselves and our skills and experience or abilities or accents or so on and so forth. And we are hesitant. We are hesitant to act for a God whom we cannot fully comprehend or understand. And we hope that Jesus will go elsewhere to find a disciple or a volunteer or a partner in ministry, because I have plans for this weekend. And summer's just not a good time for me. I have kids, and my kids are busy in the fall. I mean, she's starting school. So forget it. We can be masters of excuses, and we backpedal so easily. And whether you can relate to this or not, I want to tell you something. Something for you to take home and to think about and ponder about, pray about. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there's a hungry world out there. And they're starving to hear what we have to say and what we have to offer. And there are people out there whose fear runs rampant and whose faith shrinks a little each day as they witness the injustices done to them in the name of someone else's agenda or privilege or fear. And they crave to hear about the God who can raise the dead, about God who can transform our fears into love. You see, those people of Israel, and I'm sure you caught a little bit of that in the scripture reading this morning, but they had grown so numerous in Egypt that they became a threat for Pharaoh, and he enslaved them. He turned them into brick makers, and they labored under heavy conditions, oftentimes subject to prejudice and profiling and violence. But the scripture tells us God hears their cries. It's those cries that the calling of Moses comes from. And we may sell ourselves too cheap at times, and there may be those who will try to beat us down and tell us that we cannot change the big picture. But Jesus tells us something else. Jesus says, love me, trust me, go where I call you. And while you're at it, love people around you. Feed them, house them, pray for them, pray with them, encourage them, visit them, help them. And you have done it to me, Jesus says. Our salvation is so closely tied up in the salvation of people around us, whether we like them or not, and whether they like us or not. Because the good news of Jesus Christ, it's about people. It's about community. It's not about hooking the fish, but about loving people. It's not about statistics or numbers or whatever else you may have heard, but about caring for people and treating them just as we would like for others to treat us and our loved ones. And sometimes this may involve some picking up. Not picking up the toys, but picking up one another's broken pieces. You know, not picking up the clutter, but helping each other out of whatever kind of a hot mess that we may find ourselves in on any given occasion. So what do you say? I say, let's have the cooperation that Jesus Christ calls us to have. Let's have this cooperation with each other. Let's share in a genuine service. You know, not holding anything back as host or guest. And let's love each other just as much or in the same way that Jesus loves each and every one of us, despite the imperfect people that we are. Because, and I don't know if you remember this from last week, but as Pastor David's granddaddy used to say, there's always room for improvement. You may have straight A's on your report card, but the Almighty goes by heart, by your heart. Not by what you or I or the many judges of the world decide on. And you may have your act together at all times, or you may be more like Moses. But whoever we are, and whatever we do, let's act like a decent human being who has respect for people around us, you know, not just ourselves or our little circles. And let's look more closely around us, in our community, in our town, and listen more intently and intentionally and hear the cries of those whom we may not normally hear. And then, as we open our hearts and senses up to Jesus and his calling and people around us, then, you know, let's go where Jesus calls us. Always knowing that he's working through us. That he's working through this church, through each and every one of you, through this beloved community. Jesus is working through you for the health of this world, for the health of our community. Because just as it was those cries of the Israelites that the calling of Moses came from, now it's your call. Church, it's our call now. And whether you say boldly, "Here I am, Lord," and go, you know, all prepared and ready, or whether you put a pillow over your ears and go kicking and screaming, I want to tell you something. God's intention is set. God's calling is out here. God's intention is set, and we, you know, just like Moses, we don't appear to have the option to pass on our calling. But the good news is, there is nothing to fear, because God is with us. God goes with us. God goes before us. God goes beside us. We're not alone. So get up your pew. You know, get up this pulpit. Get up your pew and let's get out there. Open all the doors and take the word of the God who can raise the dead. Take it out there. The word of the God who can transform our fears into new beginnings. It's time. It's time. God calls you. God needs you. Not yesterday, not in 2 weeks, but right here and right now, God needs you. So I do say, amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.